We never launch into a vacuum. We consider capital markets. We consider the environment. We obviously consider our audience's attitudes. And there is no such thing as perfect timing. But we did think that we were closer to the end of rate hikes than we were to the beginning of them. And although the index or the universe may have a little bit more down to go before it goes up, we feel very confident that much of the bad news has been priced into most of these REITs and that we are about to begin an upward cycle.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Quito. In today's episode, we're exploring REITs and exchange-traded funds with my guests from Columbia Threadneedle Investments. I'm joined by Chris Lowe, Portfolio Manager, and Mark Zaitoon, Head of Strategic Beta. Columbia recently launched the Columbia Research Enhanced Real Estate ETF, and Mark and Chris are here to explain how the fund works, what sets it apart, and more. Mark and Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So first of all, what role do you see real estate playing in portfolio diversification today? And is there an optimum exposure that you would recommend?
Sarah, we see real estate as a perennial allocation within asset allocation portfolio construction. It's just a question of tactically how much people want to allocate to it given a client objective or a capital market timeline. In general, it is a diversifier. It helps to abate risk. And if you're building a minimum variance portfolio or a max sharp portfolio, you need to have an allocation to real estate that is slightly larger than what is already embedded in the S&P. Chris, I don't know if you've done any work on this, but be curious from an investments perspective what your team is seeing from the diversifying elements of real estate.
Yeah, for sure. If you look over the longer history of the return series from different asset classes, the correlations of real estate is much lower relative to the other asset classes. So as you mentioned, Mark, when you combine it with other asset classes in the portfolio, it construct a more efficient portfolio or a higher sharp, as you mentioned earlier as well. And I think there's another element of diversification benefits to adding real estate into an overall portfolio, which is income diversification. The nature of the income is different in that it's more consistent because of the income distribution requirements of REITs. But more importantly, the sustainability of the income is very important, which we feel is how we constructed CRED and therefore better than other REITs indices out there.
And I just want to jump in and remind that as a diversifier of fixed income, we're really calling out the low correlations of real estate to fixed income. It's got a higher correlation because of the REIT structure to U.S. equities, but this is a time to diversify our fixed income allocations. And that's what makes real estate so interesting right now.
Great. And I understand that Columbia has undertaken recent surveys of financial advisor preferences with regard to real estate investing. What are some of the aspects that those surveys revealed?
It's always very interesting to talk to your audience before you develop products to see what they're looking for. We think it's a good process to do that. We learn a lot from our constituencies. And obviously, the diversification of income is something that most advisors and allocators are very interested in. 93% of those surveyed thought that they would maintain or increase their real estate allocations over the next 12 to 24 months. And 82% of them favored the REIT structure as a way to express their preferences in real estate. So we think the timing is right, and we know for sure that the packaging is right relative to the way that advisors and allocators build their client portfolios.
Yeah, and actually, I would add one more additional note on that. One thing that we find is that geographic exposure is actually very important to the investors as well. And part of the CRED construction is that not only are we looking at REITs, we're actually looking at the geographic preferences of where we're investing. And that, I think, in our survey, we find that that's important and critical to our investors as well.
It's really funny because, you know, we hear about location, location, location. But when you think about, when you look at commingled vehicles and you look at the fact sheets that their issuers produce, you'll see a lot of sector breakdowns of the REIT exposures, industrials, residentials, and commercials. And for sure, that's very important. But the other lens of where does that occur? We don't think that industrial is the same across the country. We don't think that commercial is the same across the country. So we have our preferences geographically, and we're trying to bring that into the solution as well.
Really interesting.
This is Sarah Borkson-Quito with a REIT Report. Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at Nareit's REITwork Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and law for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Register by May May 24th to get the early bird rate and save on your registration. Visit go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report to register. That's go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report. Now onto the podcast.
So ETFs might not be well understood by all of our listeners. Can you explain a little bit about what they are and why someone would invest in a real estate ETF over another type of investment?
That's a great question. I think the three things that I think I would like the listeners to walk away from with regards to ETF are three things: transparency, liquidity, and tax efficiency. And what I mean by transparency is that if you look at index in general, not indices are created equal. And one of the beautiful thing about ETF, at least for index ETF, which is what we're talking about here, is that the transparencies of the rule or the investment strategy is listed in the form of the index methodology. So you can actually see the rules by looking more closely with the methodology and how it compares to others. And we feel that, you know, it is important to understand that, because if you look at a broad-based index, the methodology is very simple. And for CRED, or the index that we track, is a more thoughtful approach and is powered by our research. And I think that transparency aspect is very important. Liquidity is also important. That's the second aspect of ETF, in that REITs are, number one, REITs are exchange-listed securities, which provide better liquidity in general, but they are also publicly traded, so you can see the volume and the liquidity of the underlying constituents. One additional benefits for CRED is that we actually have a liquidity screen, so it improves the profile of the liquidity aspects of the ETF. And finally, tax efficiency in general for ETFs. Because of the structure of the ETF and through the creation redemption process, it actually provides better tax efficiency than other vehicles out there.
And how would you describe the new fund's investment strategy and methodology? Are there particular property sectors or geographic markets that you're concentrating on, for instance?
Yes to all. I would just start off by saying that what we intended to do with this solution is provide investors with a better passive approach to real estate investing. So many of the assets are already in passive mutual funds and ETFs, tracking a market cap index that frankly doesn't have that much thought in it. It is the universe, but we think that there's an opportunity for asset managers to provide a bit more insight, a bit more research into that exposure. And that is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to provide this wealth of experience that Columbia Threadneedle has across, you know, $30 billion globally of real estate investing in a retail packaging like ETFs. And the way that we think that we can do that is by taking a REIT universe and then filtering for research qualities. And for that, I'm going to turn that over to Chris. But that's the goal, is to provide a more informed and relevant real estate exposure for clients.
I take it over from Mark here. And I think the two aspects that I mentioned briefly earlier is that we look at a number of factors. Number one, the quality of the REITs. And we use two different metrics. One is sort of the ranking that we have. And we filter out our ranking that has a strong sell and sell signals. And then we also look at the geographic preferences by the way of weighting our index constituents. So we first filter out the names that we do not prefer based on the quality of the constituents from the parent index. And then we weight the constituents differently based on geographical preferences as well as income. So the index from our perspective actually is fueled with research intensity as well as the important metrics to our clients, such as income and geographic preferences, as mentioned earlier.
Sarah, I think I'd summarize it by saying that we filter for quality and we wait for opportunity.
I mean, that's a great summary. And obviously, there's many challenges in the market right now. Can you talk about how the ETF is positioned to deal with some of those challenges and how you see market conditions for REITs and listed real estate going forward?
It's a great question, one that we get a lot, and we approach the launch very soberly. We never launch into a vacuum. We consider capital markets. We consider the environment. We obviously consider our audience's attitudes. And there is no such thing as perfect timing, but we did think that we were closer to the end of rate hikes than we were to the beginning of them. And although the index or the universe may have a little bit more down to go before it goes up, we feel very confident that much of the bad news has been priced into most of these REITs and that we are about to begin an upward cycle in this. Now, I can't time it. I want to be very clear on that. If I could, I don't know that I would be launching ETFs, to be quite frank. But specifically speaking, we think that we are much closer to being on time than being early. And more importantly, we are much further away from being late than anything else. And that's part of how we see our charge, is to provide relevant solutions at the right time for the targeted audience. But the other side of it, as Chris was alluding to, is not all REITs are the same. The geography matters. So you talk about how we position for growth. We are in those REITs that invest in those geographies that our institutional expertise thinks are going to do well. We filter for quality so we don't have high yielding but poorly managed. And frankly, we believe in our research, which over time has proven accretive alpha, not only on the selection process, but on the avoidance process. As you know, you can generate alpha by avoiding pitfalls as much as you can by doubling down on good names. So all of that makes for a strong solution in our perspective.
We've gone over a lot, lots of information there. Anything you think we've missed or that you think listeners would be interested to know?
I would remind everyone that the ticker is CRED, C-R-E-D. One thing we didn't talk about is the cost efficiency. It's priced at 33 basis points, which we think is perfect pricing for embedded expertise. And it is an ETF, which means that people can use the solution to be tactical, unlike other commingled vehicles. But other than that, we're very excited to be able to come to market with this. And after listening to people like Chris, you can understand why.
Chris and Mark, thank you both very much for your time today.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.